Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, I'm joined by Silver, aka Star Wars Thrifting, to discuss the hobby of thrifting. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to another installment of Force Ghost Conversations, and I am so thrilled to welcome back to the show returning guest Silver, aka Star Wars Thrifting. So Silver, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Sorry I was late. You know, we talked about a time, and I suggested a time, and I was still late for the time. So thank you so much for having me. Doing great. I was out doing my thing, and that is called thrifting. So having fun with that. But thanks again for having me on.
Of course. And as you mentioned, your thing is thrifting, and that is the topic of today's episode. And basically, what we're going to do here, listeners, is I'm going to ask Silver a series of questions regarding the topic of thrifting and just kind of her experience going through the wilds of the flea markets and yard sales of the world, looking for fun and interesting artifacts that you can see all over her Twitter and Instagram accounts. So really, let's start at the beginning here, Silver. To start, what brought you into this hobby? Or frankly, how did the thrifting bug start?
Well, I want to say the first time I got into really like going to flea markets was when, I want to say 2015 is when my brother-in-law and sister-in-law got married. So they were going to, we were going to flea markets as we were preparing for their wedding, looking for, you know, decor and stuff for the wedding and stuff. And I just remember what I would spot, and this was like during the sequel trilogy. So just like my need to buy Star Wars stuff was just fresh. But at the flea markets, while we were out and about, I would find Star Wars stuff, and a lot of it was like the prequel merchandise.
Oh yeah.
And that just, I mean, I just got like that nostalgia, like gut punch. And I realized, I was like, wow, like I'm an adult now. I have adult money and I can buy stuff. So sure enough, I would just pick up little things, you know, from that era or just anything in general Star Wars. Again, the sequel trilogy had come out, so I was kind of just, you know, in that, I had that bug of just like wanting to buy Star Wars stuff. But I felt like the flea markets in general were just like, wow, this is just like a little treasure trove of stuff. So I want to say that is where it began.
Mm-hmm.
Because just, you know, we actually just really enjoyed actually going out and, you know, finding stuff. My husband is a collector of just like all things baseball. So it was just like a really fun hobby for us.
Wow.
He would, you know, he liked to would find old baseball cards, old baseball jerseys, old bats. And it just became like a fun little hobby for us to do on the weekends. So I want to say that began there.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have many thoughts. I mean, just like, first off, what team does your husband support? Is Giants, Athletics? What are you talking here, coming from your neck of the woods? Or maybe not. Maybe he's like a Boston Red Sox fan.
Well, yeah, we are the Bay Area, so he is a Giants fan, a baseball fan. And we're both from the Bay Area, which is so funny enough because I My family, they're Oakland A's fans, so it was pretty interesting. But yeah, he's a big Giants fan, but overall, he just loves the sport itself. So
right, yeah.
I mean, he's constantly even representing. I mean, he got this vintage Toronto Blue Jays hat the other day that he was sporting. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so he likes them. He likes them all. He loves the play. Yeah, he's pretty knowledgeable with like players. So it's not just. I mean, his team is Giants, but in general, he follows the game baseball. There's a lot of games.
There's a lot. Yeah, 162, and I bet she's watching a good many of them. So.
And I have to kind of hear about it sometimes.
Well, actually, you may be surprised to know this, but I am an A's fan as well, even though I'm on the East Coast here. But that's directly awesome. From my familial lineage. So great to hear that some Bay Area baseball love is in the house here. But it's also great to hear that thrifting is a familial experience, right? So it's like you and your significant other get to partake in this together, and you both have your things that you're probably looking for when it comes to that. So it just makes it all the more of a special experience rather than just like getting up and doing it in the morning, right? It's a whole ritual.
Yeah, it's really fun. And actually, I want to say that I actually even began before I even met my husband, because my mom was really into going to yard sales and flea markets. In San Jose, where we're from, there is the San Jose flea market is a huge market. And not only that, it's also like it's like this food market, and it's really a lot of like the Hispanic and Asian community that's really broad in San Jose. For years, that was kind of like the meetup spot where you can, you know, it was like a community thing. And I just remember being a young kid going to these almost every weekend. Again, not necessarily maybe finding stuff, but it was more like just that community aspect. Like my grandma was able to go there and get like goods from, you know, her country, or listen to music and just like meet, you know, just be around people, you know.
Right.
So it was really, I feel like that was just always, I mean, ever since I was young, you know, that was kind of like the thing we did on the weekends.
Yeah. That's so cool and fascinating. And again, just adding it to the whole familiar experience of it all. I mean, just like it's a generational thing. Everyone has their things that they're looking for, or things that they like, the hidden treasures when you're out doing this. And you're like, wow, that's great. And I like that you mentioned earlier that it gives you that rush of nostalgia when you see like a prequel trilogy era action figure or DVD or even VHSs, right? All that fun stuff. So I think you've touched on this a little bit here. But I would say that your thrifts are certainly like IP-based, intellectual property, at least based off of your Twitter and Instagram accounts, the stuff that you share typically. So for our listeners, what kind of franchises do you primarily look for when you're out in the thrifting wild, if you will? And what some are types of the finds that you come across most often?
Well, for me, I really just focus on like Star Wars. I was always fascinated, even when I was really young, to, you know, I would go to my friend's house and their brothers would just have like their collections displayed, and I always thought that was just really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I really just focus on Star Wars. But I'm a 90s kid at heart still. So anything from the 90s era, like that, you know, stuff I had when I was a kid. I can never say no.
Hard to say no to a Furby.
It's hard to say no to those things, or like the Tiger handhelds. I go crazy for those. Yes. Anything Power Rangers.
Yeah, where's a Neopet when you're looking for
one? Yeah, those are just some of my favorite things. I just love. I find a lot of Disney stuff. You know, I think that's I do find a lot of the Disney stuff when I'm out and about, which is really cool. It's funny because when there's Star Wars, Disney, I don't really kind of go for that. I kind of go for like the older, a little bit of like the older stuff. But I mean, when I'm out and about, that's kind of really what I see mostly. It's just like, it's just tons of Disney stuff. Really. It's crazy how big that, I mean, it's crazy. But I'm always finding Star Wars stuff too. I think people realize just how big, you know, Star Wars merchandise is. Like, you, I mean, I spot it everywhere. And it's almost like I find something new each time. But I'm a sucker for VHSs currently. So I have a few VHS TV combos that I just love. Right now, it's October. I'm just into like collecting horror VHS tapes currently. So mainly focused Star Wars. I find a lot. I see Disney. I mean, just Disney merchandise is just all over the place. But I, you know, I do enjoy like the VHS collection. Sorry if my answer was kind of all over the place right there.
Oh no, this is great. I want to get on to the. I want to ask about the, if I can, a follow up on spooky season VHSs. Mm-hmm. What is the most recent one that you have found in the wild?
The Scooby-Doo, clamshell Scooby-Doo.
No way.
I forgot the title. yeah. So I picked that up, recently, and, Friday the 13th, the second one.
Ooh, part two. Really, I love it. Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. So, I'm pretty, pretty stoked about it. I found, and I love finding, even like horror videos I've never heard of. I just love finding them and like popping them in when I get home and seeing like what the heck this is, what's it all about. So
that's right. Found a diamond in the rough there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I get really excited. And that's the fun part, I think, is because you just discover a lot of things that you've never really known before.
And absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
The discovery of it all experience. Is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about your collection overall right now. And mm-hmm. let's start at like the tippy top of it all. What would you say is the most unique item in your collection to date?
Gosh.
And then if you can, because I imagine there's a fun story behind it, how did it come into your possession?
A unique find. My goodness. There is. Okay. I don't want to say rare. I'm not going to put rare. I want to say unique. A unique find. This is a funny one. I want to talk about a specific, this one find, but I wouldn't call it really unique. But I found recently a, it's this bootleg Lego set from Thailand. And it is like 3PO on Rey's speeder. And
wow.
It's pretty silly. That's probably my most unique find that I'm just kind of like, what on earth is this? I love bootleg stuff. I think bootleg things are just fascinating. But this one was from Thailand. It's 3PO riding Rey's speeder. And I just kind of think of it like an alternate universe. And how I found this one was I was just at the flea market and it was in just a storage box of just random things. Sometimes you have to just like actually sit down and spend your time digging mm-hmm. to find something interesting like that. I also do have I do want to talk about another unique find. This is kind of probably like one of my most prized possessions. So that 3PO Thailand okay. bootleg one is pretty interesting. But I actually have a Revenge of the Sith crew gift. So if you worked on Revenge of the Sith, you were given this Chewbacca bust. It's pretty heavy. It's like a maquette of Chewbacca. And instead of Revenge of the Sith, 2003. Because it was from 2003, ILM crew, and that was a crew gift set, and that was also at a flea market, which was pretty wild. And I looked on eBay, and those are probably worth like they go for about like $600-$700.
Oh, it's bet. Because there's a limited amount, right? Supply and demand is certainly there, and people are certainly going all over creation mm-hmm. to find these like. Crew on set items, people that worked on the films, right? There's that connection to it that you know, just an action figure doesn't necessarily have.
Yes, so I went from silly bootleg 3PO Lego set
the full gambit.
Yeah. But those are kind of just like, just kind of, I mean, just two wild things that, you know, that you find. And it's pretty unique.
That is so cool.
And again, and like, I'm like finding it at a flea market. Yeah, you're just finding it at a flea market. You know, I happen to be at that place at the right time to pick it up.
Right place, right time. Nuts. You gotta spend the money right there. Otherwise, it might not be there if you do another lap around.
It's true. It's happened to me. I have plenty of stories where that's happened to me before. Oh, and it hurts. It hurts.
I feel I can just feel the pain already.
Yeah, it hurts.
The what ifs of the collection could also be another episode.
I'm haunted by it. I seriously do think about it. And I'm like, man, if I had just picked up that Ewoks, you know, the little treehouse set, I, you know, probably would have been.
Ooh, that is a good one.
I almost don't want to buy it anymore because I'm so upset.
Ooh, Bright Tree Village set, baby.
Yeah, it was. Well, that's what I get.
Yikes. But well, hopefully it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. There'll be another one in the future.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, I know that you have a good deal of items in your collection and in your thrifting repertoire. So I guess, you know, I come from the museum world a little bit here, and there's a degree of, you have a collection, but there's only a finite amount of space. Mm-hmm. So at this point, what is your process for deciding to add something to the collection, or even to make the hard choice of removing an artifact? Because I'm going to say your collection's like a museum here. It's very expansive. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, I want to hear what your thought process is on that then.
You know, one of the people I admire most in the world is Steve Sansweet. And I've gotten to know him personally since I became a volunteer at Ranch Obi-Wan. So I'm constantly just like having conversations with him and picking his brain, and I, you know, just admire him so much. And I, you know, him and I were talking about this the other day, and he said that, you know, even if you have just one bookshelf that's your collection, you can constantly just move things around, you know, tell a story on a shelf, you know, the shelf can tell a story. Or, you know, play a scene on this shelf and then let it, you know, sit. And then maybe next month you rotate it out and, you know, however you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that. I feel like I'm constantly in my, I'm recording in my computer room right now, but in my garage, my big collection space is, I'm constantly in there. I'm constantly moving things around. But it's really just kind of like a mood, how I feel. So if I'm feeling like right now, recently, I'm really into like early 90s Star Wars toys. The stuff where there wasn't really much Star Wars merch. But
the Dark Ages, yes.
They were still pumping out stuff. And I'm talking about like the Tiger and handhelds, or just like these little just like little random figures or like sticker books.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just what's been on my brain recently. So I kind of will display that. So I feel like it's, and then, you know, obviously or when there's a Disney Plus show, I kind of just want to like kind of display kind of like that, because that's kind of like what's on my mind. But again, I think it's more like a mood. And I also realize that sometimes things will serve a purpose, and if I'm just, you know, if I can let it go, then I'll let it go. And because I already know, like, you know what, I've spent my time with this item, it's been great, but I'm gonna kind of maybe pass it along to someone else who will enjoy it, because I'm gonna make room for more things.
That's right.
So it's like a constant like rotation. But I really love what Steve told me about, like, always like your shelves telling a story. And even with like the little amount of space. So it's really just kind of like how I'm feeling, or like the mood I'm in. Again, you know, I talked about like, I'm really fascinated by the early 90s. I'm not talking about like special editions. I'm talking about like
91, 92.
Like, I just love finding, you know, things like that, because it just tells a story where the Star Wars fandom was at that one point. And I, you know, I just, I, again, those are just things that I really love, you know, to think about as a fan.
Yeah.
I think about, like, you know, the history of the fandom, and, you know, collecting is a big part of it. So I always kind of like think, Ben, like, how would it be, how cool would it have been if it was in 91 and I found this Darth Vader folder? I probably would have been the coolest kid on the block, you know? So
probably.
Yeah. So again, it's just how I'm feeling and what I'm really admiring about the fandom. So that's kind of like how I, you know, I go about moving things around. Obviously, my first love is the prequel era. And I mean, I have this whole area designed just for like silly Phantom Menace merch. So I'm actually building like a library too. So just organizing my books. But I think it's just really just how I'm feeling. And sometimes I will put things away in a storage box and then put, you know, and put other stuff out. But again, it's just the whatever mood I'm feeling or whatever era of Star Wars is just really all I can think about. Because it's like an admiring thing, you know, I want to display this on the shelf. And, you know, it may not necessarily be like the most like expensive or thing that I want to display. It could be just be like, you know, whatever I'm just in the mood for.
Well, you're thinking just like a museum curator over there. I mean, you're putting together a story just by the items that are on display. And I just love hearing that. That was a great, great answer for, honestly, that was a really great look into your thought process on how you both collect things and display them. So that was really great. Thank you for that. That was really cool. So in your opinion, what would you consider to be the quote unquote holy grail of your collection that you found out in the wild? In other words, or sorry, let me rephrase that. if you were to, what would be like the thing you're looking for the most right now? And your holy, like, what would be the holy grail that you're looking for? Like, you found it in the wild, you're like, I must have this right now. We're not leaving here. We're bringing in a huge truck to get this. Like, this is in my collection right now. So what would that top item be, for you these days?
It's funny because that if you would ask me that question 3 weeks ago, I would have given you an answer, a month ago, I would have given you an answer, but it's changed now because I officially picked that item up.
Yes.
As of a month ago. So it was hard having to retrain my brain because that's all I was thinking about before. So I had to retrain my brain and be like, okay, what's next on this big thing that I need? The Watto for sure. The Watto Pepsi display. He's like scale size of a Watto, and he's hanging from this pole. So it looks like he's floating. I would love to have that in my collection just to feel like this is Watto's workshop. You know, I just feel like the perfect centerpiece of my thing. I feel like that would just be like something amazing that I would need. I recently a few months ago, I was looking at the Star Wars Insider magazine, and I was looking at things that they were selling. I saw this special edition pinball machine that looks like the graphics just look amazing. So I would not mind owning that one day. So those two items for sure. The Watto is just something that I just will hopefully one day
come across.
I have the Yoda of that Pepsi version, and the Jar Jar Binks one sounds cool too, but there's something about this Watto because he's just like up on this pole hanging down and looks just really cool. I just feel like that would just be like the perfect centerpiece for me. So either that, because I'm always thinking about that, but also this pinball machine from the special editions.
Pinball machine for the special editions. Let's
let's
manifest that into existence. Let's get that in your collection now.
I would love to. Yeah, for sure.
So if we can, Silver, what would have been the item that you have collected? If I had asked this question a month ago, what would that have been that is now in your collection?
So it's the 1999 Pepsi machine featuring Anakin Skywalker and Watto. And it's a crazy machine. I feel like there's one in Pittsburgh in front of a fire department that I know Star Wars fans, if they're in the area, they go take a picture with. But yeah, I actually found this on Facebook Market. Some gentleman, he used to have a beverage company, so he had tons of vending machines. He didn't promote it as a Star Wars vending machine. He just said vending machines. And as you scroll through the pictures, you see it there. And it's just like, oh my goodness. If he promoted it as Star Wars vending machines, I'm sure it would have got picked up somehow. But sure enough, it's that machine. It's stuck in, it's almost like you look at it, it's a nice, it's in great condition. But if you look at it, it's just a snapshot. It's like
it really is.
It's like you really go like back in time. Even like the soda labels are old soda labels.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So the Coca-Cola, the Dr. Pepper. They all just look like old school sodas. And I'm just like, wow, this is actually really cool. So I didn't have to drive an hour and 45 minutes for it and rent a truck.
Worth every penny.
They had a forklift it in there, and I didn't know how I was gonna get it off the truck, so we had to have like people to come help us unload it. But it's probably the greatest thing, and I've always thought I would love to have this, but I just never in my wildest dreams thought this would be even a possibility, and for it to be just like an hour and a half away from me is really just insane. Again, it was not promoted as Star Wars vending machine. It was just promoted as, hey, I'm selling these vending machines. Can come pick it up before, you know, we take it to the landfill. So.
Oh, my God. You saved it from destruction. And the fact that this piece of history was almost lost.
That's all I think about. I'm like, oh my goodness, to even think.
You're a preservationist at this point.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I'm going to hold on to it as much as I can. Down the future, I don't see myself ever letting it go, but down the future, if I do, I'm going to have to make sure I'll probably donate it to Rancho or something.
Yeah.
it's great. I know. Funny because I feel like I snuck it past Rancho Obi-Wan because I picked it up in Petaluma, two exits out from where Rancho Obi-Wan.
Oh, man.
So I made a joke. I said, sorry, I just went and picked it up and right under your guys' nose.
Well, the guy didn't advertise it well, so
yeah,
I mean, their loss is your gain. Here's the biggest question, though, related to that: does it work still?
It works.
It works.
It does work. It does work. I just don't see myself having sodas in there.
Well, you could put anything in there, technically, couldn't you?
I mean, I can, you're right. I can just put like waters and stuff like that, but it's just to have it on all the time, I just don't see it happening. You never know. I might own my own Star Wars toy store one day, and I can have it out in my front of my business. You never know.
That's right. Episode 1 Pepsi cans to go with it, just to, you know. When people, you know, I assume the soda should be taken out of those by this point. But, you know, if you have the cans, I bet you those could work still.
Yeah. Just for fun, right? Yeah.
Yes. The novelty of it all.
Yeah. I know. I sometimes will plug it in just so because it can light up, you know, it lights up just so when I'm in the garage and, you know, hanging out.
Just to hear a soda machine running.
But at the same time, I was like, I don't think I'm going to really just kind of have this on. But it works, though, so it's good.
Amazing. Do you have to pay? Like, is there a way to bypass putting, like, a dollar into it?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know if you can bypass it. So in order to work, I'm thinking, like, next time I probably have a big family barbecue, maybe I will be like, hey, if you guys want a soda, you guys have to pay me for it.
Yeah.
Just for fun. just for fun. So maybe.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Because when I saw that you got that was like my immediate thought was like, do you have to pay it yourself?
Yeah. It's not going to, honestly, it's more like I'm not going to probably have it. I'm probably, it's just, It's just there to just kind of like display. And
it's vibing. You know, it's a part of the collection.
And admire every time I admire, walk in. Yes. I admire it every time I walk in.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. So this brings me to my last question here, Silver, which is basically like what your advice for others that are looking to possibly get into thrifting or perhaps even like Star Wars, Lucasfilm thrifting, all that fun stuff. So how do you suggest that one gets started in this hobby?
Honestly, I feel like, I mean, one, if you go to the flea market or garage sale, any or thrift store, the Goodwills, you know, just grab things that, you know, just find something that will probably, you know, spark any sort of joy or happiness. You know, if you thought maybe never you typically would find anything at these places, just give it a chance because you'd be surprised how you know, a lot of amazing things that, you know, you can find. And yeah, I would try, if you have a like flea market, swap meets in your area, check those out, garage sales or just thrift stores. You know, people are constantly just donating stuff or getting rid of things. So you never know. You can just find something. And I mean, genuinely, if it like sparks your curiosity or just really makes you smile, pick it up. I mean, you're going to get for a good price. You know, it's helping the environment.
Sustainable.
You're salvaging these things from hitting a landfill and, you know, I started before, like, you know, finding, like, I started just buying like Star Wars sweatshirts and t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was kind of like the beginning of it. But, honestly, just give it, just check it out. You know, it's no thrift is too big or small. you know, don't get caught up of like, if this is going to work, you know, I think people always think like, is this going to work? Tons of money, da da da. It's more like if it just makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I found this Boba Fett.
Look at that
mug.
Coffee mug.
Yeah, I got it at a coffee mug at the Goodwill, and it's the best thing ever. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably like my advice. You know, if you haven't even thought of like checking these secondhand places, check it out. It's fun. It's, you know, and there's something just exciting about going on a little hunt. So I would just start there. Or also like use bookstores if you're in, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff there too. So yeah, that's kind of like my advice, is just to at least try it out. And if you're gonna go, try and go maybe in the mornings. If you go to the thrift stores, maybe in the middle of the week, because that's when they put most of their stuff out, is in the middle of the week, because they get a lot of donations over the weekend and it takes like a few days for it to kind of like hit the shelves. So you're typically Wednesday and Thursdays are like your best days at like the thrift stores.
Good tips.
Yeah. Also Craigslist and Facebook Market. Those are OfferUp. Those are some fun like app.
Oh, yes.
Yep. You just go on your apps and see what people, check those out on the weekends, Friday night, because people are, again, just the weekends, people are just clearing a lot of things out. So, yeah. But my advice is just have fun. You know, even if you're not wanting to spend the money or don't really have the room, just go and just see what's out there. It's really fun. It's just an exciting thing just to go out and see, like, wow, like, this, look what's out here.
You never know what discoveries you're going to come across, and you have to take those important first steps into this grand world in order for you to find them on your own.
Absolutely.
Well, Silver, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about your neck of the woods, thrifting. Where can the fine folks find you online? And I can imagine they'll find, if by connecting with you on those social platforms, they will see a lot of the many wonderful things that you come across out in the wild.
Yes. You can find me on the internet, Star Wars Thrifting. That's where I'm at, on Instagram, Twitter. and TikTok-ish.
Ooh, yes, yes. Can't forget
maybe
the top.
Maybe I haven't been posting there as much. But if you go on in my Instagram, I'm constantly posting like my stories. Especially I'm very active on the weekends because that's where a lot of the hunting is. And, you know, that's kind of where I share a lot. So check me out on there. DMs are always open. I love talking about Star Wars. I love talking about collecting. So my favorite messages and DMs are people tagging me and messaging me of things that they find over the weekend. It's just fun. It's fun.
That's just, right.
So come follow and hang out.
Very cool. There's a whole world out there and we're all just helping each other discover all the cool nooks and crannies that are in our collections.
Yeah.
Well, Silver, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. We'll certainly have you back on again in the future once these strikes are over to talk about some more fun things in the galaxy far, far away. But until then, for the folks listening at home, thank you as well for joining us on this episode and on this adventure. And until then, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And may the Force be with you. Take care.